Hello and welcome to the Knee Pain Guru podcast series. My name is Bill Paravano, and each week on these podcast series, we go over different topics and challenges individuals are having with chronic knee pain. And this week is episode 6. We're going to go over the ins and the outs of inflammation and dealing with swelling and inflammation. In regards to knee pain, can be very challenging and quite often difficult. Swelling can be so persistent that there are even times when doctors will have to drain the knee to get the inflammation down. This can lead to missed work, high doctor's bills, and additional pain and discomfort in your knee. And today we're going to cover why swelling and inflammation happens so you can begin understanding what you can do or what you are doing that is contributing to the inflammation and what you can do to begin to reverse that process so chronic knee pain is no longer an issue in your life and you can begin getting back and enjoying what you love to do. Next, I'd like to cover my standard disclaimer. None of the information in this podcast is to be construed as medical advice. If you do have any questions, please consult your licensed healthcare professional. And all of the information in this podcast is to be considered with the assumption that nothing is broken or torn, that if you're having any issues in your body, you've already gone to the doctor, you've had an x-ray, a CT scan, an MRI to check to make sure that there is nothing broken or torn. And then, of course, we can look at those issues from that point. And the main focus of these talks is to deal with the chronic knee pain issues that many people are looking at without the use of prescription drugs, pain-killing shots, or surgery. So, in understanding pain in the body, when understanding discomfort, when understanding the inflammation piece, what's going on with swelling in your knee, we have to look at what is pain. And essentially, from a very basic standpoint, we're looking at tension in your nervous system. We're looking at your body swelling up and impinging on the nerves that are in your knee. And that, of course, as the swelling takes place, as the body swells up, it impinges on the nerves even more, causing more pressure. There's less space for your nerves. So this irritates the nerve endings in your knee, sending a signal to your brain that you have knee pain. And swelling, from understanding swelling, there's two different types of swelling or two different types of inflammation in the body. And the first we have to look at is acute swelling or acute inflammation, and then chronic inflammation. And acute inflammation is, of course, in the short term. You smack your knee swells up. It's causing an issue. However, what happens is when your body injures itself and that acute inflammation, that short-term inflammation that happens in your knee, that is your body's defense mechanism to begin healing what the damage that has taken place in your knee. The problem comes in is when this situation is not remedied and it becomes chronic. The joint is continually swollen, or you continue to injure it, which causes it to be swollen over and over and over again, and you have that inflammation. So what I'd like to do is read you a definition of inflammation. And this was gotten off of Wikipedia. And it reads, inflammation is the complex biological response of vascular tissues to harmful stimuli, also known as you're smacking your knee, or you've twisted your knee, or you've done something that is causing pain, such as pathogens, which could be problems inside your knee, damaged cells, or irritants. Inflammation is a protective attempt by the organism, which is you, to remove the injurious stimuli, as well as initiate the healing process for the tissue. Inflammation is not synonymous for infection. Even in cases where inflammation is caused by infection, the two are not synonymous. Infection is caused by an external pathogen, while inflammation is one of the responses of the organism to the pathogen. So what is happening is you've smacked your knee, you've twisted your knee, you've done something where you have a problem with your knee, it causes pain, and the knee begins to swell up. One of the things that is misunderstood is the issue between acute inflammation and chronic inflammation. And that's where the issue never heals. It doesn't get better. So you have a chronic condition that is continued to be injured over and over again. And, of course, there is the Rice therapy that many of the doctors and physical therapists will bring up, as far as you want to put ice on it, you want to raise it, elevate the knee above your heart, you want to rest it, the Rice therapy, rest, elevation, ice, and compression. So all of those four things are very valuable. However, if we're looking at a fundamental level, what is going on in the body, that inflammation, it doesn't, and it's not getting better, it's become a chronic condition. And one of the things that I have found to be very helpful in terms of addressing my own knee pain and the inflammation in my own knees has been the understanding of diet. And this is something that's not talked about hardly at all in terms of addressing inflammation in the body, and that is acute or chronic inflammation. And there are specific foods that we eat that causes an irritation in our stomachs, in our intestines. And that causes a inflammation in our gut lining that creates an inflammation throughout the body. So you're probably saying, well, Bill, how does that apply to what's going on in my knee? Well, here's the deal. If you have this chronic inflammation going on in your belly by certain foods that you may be eating that is causing a chronic inflammation status in your gut, and now you go ahead and twist your knee and smack your knee or do something that causes pain in your knee, now your body's trying to heal what's going on in the knee, and at the same time it's trying to deal with this low level of inflammation in your gut. Well, that's kind of like driving around with your foot on the gas and your foot on the brake of a car. It's very difficult for the car to go forward. Now, the car will go forward. The engine is more powerful than the brakes, and you will move the car. However, you're going to burn up the brake pads. And it's the same thing what's going on in your body at the same time when you have this chronic inflammation going on in your stomach. And every time you eat this food, it's causing that low level of inflammation in your stomach. And now your body's trying to heal what's going on in your knee. All of those resources is being taken up for digesting the food, for dealing with that chronic inflammation in your belly. And it doesn't have a whole lot less, it doesn't have a whole lot more to be able to go and heal what's going on in your knees, address the inflammation in your knees. And that's what I see many times, is that in my own experience and in working with clients, what I have seen is when the client begins to address that inflammation caused by the food that they're eating, that speeds up the process by which they're able to heal what's going on in their knees. It's kind of a little counterintuitive. It doesn't make sense that something that you would eat would cause problems of what's going on in your knees. However, that is very much the case. And what I have seen as far as in my own experience and working with clients. And so there's this, you're probably asking yourself, well, Bill, which foods are they? Well, of course, it's going to be different for everyone. Different people have different types of food allergies or food sensitivities, foods that they would eat and then have their body would have a response afterwards. And one of the big things that affect me is dairy and grains. Those are some of the bigger ones. And what's interesting about this is you're looking at something. I was raised in an Italian-American household, so there was a lot of pasta and bread from when I was very little. So you're over there having a Sunday meal with the family, and you have a big plate of pasta, and you have a big hunk of bread with butter on it, of course. And you eat that, and after the meal, there was that sense of, well, I'm really tired, and my belly feels really full. Well, on the surface, that doesn't seem to be that big of a deal. After eating to feel tired and having that swollen belly because you've eaten so much. However, in studying nutrition and in seeing how my body responds with different foods that I eat, that swelling in the belly or that full feeling in the belly is actually the irritation of my gut lining. That is actually my belly swelling up, getting inflamed because the wheat in the pasta that I was eating is causing a gut irritation for me. And because all of my energy in my body is going to heal, all of that, all of the body's responses to inflammation is going to heal what's going on in my gut, that's where my energy goes to, which is why I feel tired. And I want to go to sleep after I eat. Now this, once again, on the surface, this seems like a very fundamental, like, well, that's just what happens when you eat. And it's something that I was raised to believe is to be normal, when in actuality, this is not normal. And when you look at human history and you look at the development of societies, it was about 10,000 years ago that humans began with agriculture and domestication of animals. And with both agriculture and the domestication of animals came farming and cultivating grains, as well as with the domestication of animals, which means you would get the milk from those animals, whether it be cow's milk or goat's milk. Of course, this would only be a common sense thing. It would be very difficult to milk a wild animal. They probably wouldn't stay still long enough for you to do it. The point of what I'm saying is that from an evolutionary perspective, 10,000 years ago is not a very long period of time for our bodies to get accustomed, to get used to this change. So the grains in the dairy, we find out many times that many people are lactose intolerant or have wheat sensitivities. And you see it on a lot of labeling now. They're talking about, you even look on those things, the labels of foods that you eat, and it says produced in facilities that also have wheat, soy, gluten, those types of things, which are all derivatives of a grain or a dairy or some sort of a dairy product. So we see many people having these issues, yet there isn't a whole lot of talk as far as addressing those. Now, the support I have for this, there is a PhD professor out of Colorado State University. His name is Lauren Cordain, and he's done a ton of research as far as this is all backed up by biochemists and things like that, that they find that many people have these sensitivities to dairy and to grains. And as far as the grains go, the reason why there's a sensitivity to the grains is because the grains are essentially, it's a grass, and it has very large seeds at the top of that grass. And we harvest those seeds and then grind them into flour and bake them in the breads and cakes and pastries and all sorts of different things, have them in cereal, granola, and things such as that. However, what is failed to be looked at is the fact that the seed coating on those grains are designed to keep that grain from being digested by the animals that eat it. So the animal would come by and eat this grain, and then they would continue to walk by, and then the grain would be passed through the digestive tract of the animal, and the animal would drop that on the ground. They would defecate that on the ground, and then that grain would grow in that new location. Well, when we take that grain and we grind it up, that seed coating is there designed to keep that grain from being digested by the animal. That is perceived by our body as a neurotoxin. And that neurotoxin irritates the gut lining, causing inflammation, and gives us a lot of the problems that we see nowadays. One of the books that I talk about is the book by Lauren Cordain, the Paleo Diet. And I do have a link on my website, thekneepainguru.com, where I have the link to get that book on Amazon. But the point of it is that the majority of our diets consists of dairy and grains in some form. So as a result, this is all translating and putting a hamper on our body's ability to heal what's going on in our knees, because it's not only dealing with the inflammation in the joint, It's dealing with this chronic inflammation in the gut from the irritation of the grains and the dairy. So that is one piece as far as looking at inflammation in the body and steps we can begin taking to eliminate grains and dairy from our diet that will help support the body's healing of what's going on in the knees. So another piece is the, and I talk about water many times in working with clients. And there was a Dr. Batman Geldage. He's an Iranian doctor that did a 20-year study on water and treating his patients strictly with water, just plain old tap water. And one of the things that he found was the number of people that are chronically dehydrated. And that means that they don't drink enough water to flush out the toxins in their body. So what ends up happening, and this is way, way counterintuitive, is that our knees will swell up as a result of not drinking enough water. So how does this happen? Well, the lymphatic system, that's the pump that cleans out all the garbage as we move. And the pump for the lymphatic system is the pelvis. So as we walk, the body pumps the lymph and cleans out all of the toxins out of our body. If there's not enough water in the body, what happens is these toxins get stuck in the area of most tension. And of course, if you have pain in your knee is squeezing tighter to protect itself. And this causes, very much like if you would squeeze your hand just for a few seconds and then open up your hand, you can see that it's turned very white on the inside. And if you were to hold that fist long enough, you would have problems in your hand. Well, it's the same thing with your knee. Your nervous system tenses up to protect what's going on in the knee. As a result, it holds the fluid that is trying to get out of the knee. And if there isn't enough water, if you aren't drinking enough water, the body is unable to flush that fluid out of there. And the joint ends up swelling more. And I've seen this happen. I've had clients that have changed their diet and began drinking more water, and many times the issues with their knees just go away. And that's partially because of the pH balance, which is the acid-alkaline balance in your body, that if your body gets too acidic, that acidic state sits in the knee joint because it's the area of most tension, and that acidic state begins to irritate the nerve endings. That begins to cause irritation of the nerve, of the nerve endings in your knee, sending a signal to your brain that you have knee pain. Now, you may not have even done anything to your knee, and your knees start aching, which is just that acidic state. It's like battery acid sitting in your knee joint. So by increasing your water intake, you're going to help flush that joint out and promote the body's healing process. It's going to be able to flush all of those toxins out, that inflammation process, because in the definition of inflammation, the body is sending plasma and leukocytes. That is one of the from the blood into the injured tissue. So what happens is if we don't have enough water, the body is unable to flush out that plasma in the leukocytes because it ends up getting stuck in the knee, which then the acidic state gets worse, irritates the nerve endings, and we have more swelling. So it's a very interesting process what the body has, and simple things that you can begin doing that'll address what's going on in your knees. So water is a really simple way of doing it. Now, I do believe that you can eat the correct diet and you can drink the proper amount of water and you'll still have swelling in your knees. And partially because I used the example of the garden hose is kinked. And if you've ever watered your garden or watered your yard and you bring your hose that's been rolled up around the corner, and it'll get that kink in it where all of a sudden the water doesn't come out of the end of the hose that you're trying to water the yard with. And you can see where the kink is, and you can see how much pressure builds up on the other end of the hose. And what happens is that hose will build up that pressure until we unkink it, and then there's this big surge of water that'll come out of the end of the hose that you're trying to water the yard with. Well, I believe the very same thing happens in your knee, that it goes back to your nervous system tensing up to protect itself, and that tension is held in the knee. It's your body's response so it doesn't get injured further. Well, what happens is that catches that all of the plasma in the leukocytes that we were talking about is now stuck in the knee. You may be drinking enough water. You may be eating the proper food. Your pH is correct, yet you're still having issues in the knee because the knee is holding too much tension. And we'd have to look to the nervous system to understand this. And the nervous system, of course, is your body's, that's your body's dashboard in your car. You know when the check oil light comes on, you know you need to look at what's going on with the oil. You know if your check engine light comes on, you know there's something going on with the engine. You know that if the temperature gauge goes on, that you have to look at the radiator. Something needs to be addressed with the radiator. The very same piece happens with your knees or any other part of your body for that matter. That is your dashboard letting you know that there's something going on in that area of your body. So now your knee is experiencing pain. It's experiencing swelling. So your knee is communicating through your nervous system to your brain, letting you know you have knee pain and you're experiencing swelling. So your nervous system is squeezing too tight. It isn't able to let go. And I go back to the fist analogy. And there is ways to position the body to, and primarily in positions of comfort, that allow your nervous system to let go of the tension of what's going on in your knee. And the really beautiful part of taking the body to a position of comfort is it begins to understand what comfort is. And in doing so, comfort expands. It goes with the laws of the universe. What we focus on expands. What we talk about, what we speak about, what we think about, what we're focusing on expands. So if we're getting in there and trying to rub on the knee and cause it pain, the body doesn't feel safe. The body will tense up more. So the idea is just the opposite of that. How can we create comfort in the knee? How can we support the knee in a place where it feels safe, supported, and listened to relax the tension in what's going on in the knee, allowing it to create more space? And as a result of that more space, now the blood and the oxygen can get into those areas and clean out all of the garbage that's being built up that gets stuck there because the body is too tight to let it go, to let it clean itself out. That's a way we can support the body through stretching. And I refer to this in my virtual clinic as passive stretching, as a way of finding positions of comfort that create the space in the knee joint that allows the body to flush itself out, to relax that tension in the nervous system. And that's very, very important, extremely important. And I have seen absolute miracles in both myself and in working with clients that by creating that space, that comfort in the knee joint, and things, it appears magic that it goes away. Well, it's really not magic because we're engaging the reflexes in the nervous system that allows the body to let go of the tension on its own. It's the very same reflexes, like when the doctor taps your knee with a hammer and your knee jumps. Those same reflexes are engaged in the position of comfort, and the body will spontaneously and easily let go of the tension it's holding on to. So that is another way of looking at and addressing inflammation in the body, by creating the space in the knee joint so the body can clean itself out. And of course, it does it through the movement of the pelvis and the lymphatic system. So once again, we're setting up the conditions to create, to allow the body's getting out of knee pain as being inevitable. We get the diet right, we get the water right, and now that's the foundation. And then we create the space so the body can clean itself out. And that is three of the five steps that I talk about that I really get in depth on in my virtual clinic in my website. The next piece, of course, is breathing. And breathing will support these other three points. Because one of the first things that our body does is it tenses up when it experiences pain. When there's that thickness around the knee, it doesn't feel comfortable. The body is tensing up on a very, very subtle level because it doesn't feel safe. And so when we tense up and we hold our breath, this actually elevates the tension in the nervous system. Like, we have two aspects of our nervous system. One is the sympathetic, which is the fight, flight, or freeze. That's where, you know, we initially get scared and our pupils will dilate and all the blood will go to, the legs to run away. Our adrenals will kick in and produce adrenaline. Our heart rate will increase. Our blood pressure will increase, our digestion will stop. And what happens is our body, when it's experiencing pain, when it's experiencing discomfort with that inflammation, there is this low level of that fight, flight, or fear, freeze response that our body is locked into. We can actively begin to unwind that tension in the nervous system, to relax that tension in the nervous system by actively breathing, by consciously breathing. And this overrides that nervous system's response to tense up. So this is especially effective when we breathe consciously when we're experiencing pain. And by doing so, you override that fight, flight, or freeze response to tense up more. Now you're controlling the breath and you're actively engaging the rest and relax response in your nervous system. So this can really support your body's healing processes when you actively breathe. Now this has far-reaching effects because when you engage that rest and relax response in your nervous system, the body naturally has more healing ability. Because one of the symptoms of an elevated nervous system or elevated tension in your nervous system is the fact that it's difficult sleeping. So if you have difficulty sleeping, that's when your body recovers the most. So if you're not able to get a good night's rest because you have swelling and pain and inflammation and discomfort in your knee, it's going to be really hard to get a good night's rest. So by actively breathing during the day, by focusing on your breath, now you allow your nervous system to switch over to that rest and relax component that will allow it to rest better at night. And resting better at night, that means your body can recover quicker and it's able to heal what's going on in your knees. And this, of course, once again, we're tying the diet in. We don't want to cause that systemic inflammation by eating foods that are irritating the gut lining. Because now your body's, when it's sleeping, needs to deal with that as well as dealing with what's going on in your knees. And then the water piece. If your body doesn't have enough water to flush out the toxins that are created by just you being alive, the natural dying off of old cells, then that sits in your body and it creates a very acidic state, causing more problems. So we need to have the space in the body that allows the body to flush itself out, and we're looking at the breathing part of it so you can get better rest and just general relaxing muscle tone. So that's going to help your body as well. Now, the last piece to look at is the exercise and the proper exercise, because we can do exercises that irritate what's going on in the knee and cause more inflammation. Now, understand that any type of exercise causes a certain degree of inflammation in the body, because when you exercise, there's a tearing down of muscle and tearing down of tissues in the body as a result of where you're stressing the body. So when you exercise, it's very important to work on your structure, meaning you want to do exercises properly. And you want to do exercises functionally. So it's improving the function in how you walk. Because if you're doing exercises, and when I talk about structure, I'm talking about working specifically with the joints. So you improve your structure. If you just work with muscles, what ends up happening is you create more tension in your structure. This reverses the process of creating space in your body. Now your muscles are pulling together tightly. You've elevated the tension in your nervous system. You've caused more stress in your joints. And that is going to cause the rubbing of the nerves. And as a result of the rubbing of the nerves, you have increased knee pain. So once again, what are you focusing on? Are you focusing on pain or are you focusing on comfort? And by doing exercises properly, properly, with proper form, and of course with proper breathing, you relax the tension in the nervous system. You're going to get a good workout. It's just that you're not going to feel this beat down, drug out feeling after the workout. There's going to be a sense of being energized after the workout. Like you have more energy afterwards, because when using your structure, you've actually freed up energy that was stuck in places that were too tight. And that's very important. And I've went into detail in a book called Stop Your Knee Pain Now on showing you how to specifically strengthen your structure, strengthen the tendons and ligaments, which is very different than muscular strength, in your knee joints, in your hip joints, in your ankles. And this is all going to contribute to your body to have proper structure, proper movement, and feel that light, free, loose feeling that you had when you were younger and that you had before you injured yourself. So in doing so, in creating that space in the structure and having proper structure, now when you move and your lymphatic system's trying to clean itself out because you have enough water, because you put the right fuel in your system, and your body has the right fuel in terms of food to heal the damaged cells, you now are exercising so you don't create more tension in your structure. Your body is getting optimized to heal the swelling and the inflammation in your knees. And that is the conditions, or those are the conditions that allow your body to optimally let go of the tension it's holding on to so it can heal what's happening in your knees. This is so important and so crucial to look at all of these different aspects, to look at all of these different components that contribute to what's going on in your knees and contributing to the swelling and the inflammation. And this all contributes to how your knees feel. And if you don't look at all of these components, all of these factors, you may have some relief for a short period of time. You may do well. I've had people get into my book and start doing the exercises, and their knee pain goes away immediately. However, they don't have that fundamental understanding of all of the factors that are contributing to what's going on in their knees. It almost needs to be like a science project. Like you really need to thin slice this and look at all of the factors. I was working with a client the other day that was telling me 2 weeks ago how if she had one cup of coffee, her knees were fine. As soon as she drank the second cup of coffee, and coffee is extremely acidic, that she immediately felt discomfort in her knees. That little piece. However, without that, observing that, without paying attention to that, it's just all knee pain. It's like a blanket statement. There's no deeper understanding of what's happening, and that's crucial. That's crucial to maintaining pain-free knees. Getting to a place where your knees don't bother you anymore, where you don't have to think about your knees anymore, where it's effortless to walk across the room, to go out and play with your children, to go hiking or jogging or cycling or whatever it is. And you know that there are some things you do that if you do this, you need these other factors. Like let's say you go cycling, do a 75-mile bicycle trip or something like that. I know some people that are long-distance cyclers, and they know that if they do that, they need to replenish a certain amount of water. And they need to eat specific foods that support their body's ability to heal what they've done. or if they go out and have a couple of drinks with some friends. They know what they need to do, what supplements they need to take, what foods they need to eat to support the damage that has been done, what exercises they need to do, what stretching that needs to happen, the breathing exercises that becomes a daily practice. And at first, it can seem a little overwhelming and a little daunting. However, the more you own it, the more you understand what's happening, the more empowered you are with what's going on in your body, the more you know exactly what to do at what point. And I always give the example of when you're going over a friend's house for the first time. You have directions, and you're supposed to go down three streets and take a right, and go three blocks and take a left, and go down to the stop sign and take another left. And when you first go there, it may take you 20 minutes or a half an hour to get there. And it may be only a couple miles away from your house. Well, the first time you go there, it takes a long time. And then the next time you go, it takes a little bit shorter because you remember a couple of those turns. And by the third or the fourth time you go to that address, you go to your friend's house, you can almost do it blindfolded because your body already knows. Your mind already knows how to get there. You remember. And it's the same thing with getting out of knee pain. Initially, it's going to be a little difficult. It's going to be a little tricky. There'll be a few changes you have to make here and you have to make there. And then it's like the knee pain comes back and it's like, well, you forgot some of them. We just need to retool things and look at, okay, what worked? And that's one of the things that I supply in my virtual clinic is a knee health worksheet that allows you to track through these things and journal what works, what doesn't work, how your pain level has changed. And in doing so, you get empowered with this knowledge and understanding of what's going on in your body. And it's an amazing feeling. It's an amazing experience when all of a sudden you get to that place where you're walking around and you're like, wow, my knee hasn't hurt for a few days. Wow, it's been a couple weeks since my knee has bothered me. Wow, I couldn't do that before. And now all of a sudden it's just happening. Wow, I just played with my kids yesterday. I have a client who had the opportunity to play basketball with his son that he hadn't been able to do because he was dealing with knee pain. When you get to that place, that is such an incredible place to be because it's so empowering and it's devoid of the fear. You know what to do. You know how to do it. That's what I want for you. So I have a couple things that you can do right now that will start you moving in that direction. And once again, the idea is to create the conditions to being out of knee pain, making that inevitable. So the first step you could do is go to my website and download my free report. And that website is freekneepainreport.com. All you need to do is enter a first name and email address. And in doing so, you'll be sent a free report, which goes over those five components that I've talked about. The water, the nutrition, the exercise, the stretching, and the breathing. Those are those five components, and I go into way more detail in that report. And on the next page, after you enter your first name and email address, there's an opportunity to get my ebook, which is called Stop Your Knee Pain Now. And that goes into all of the exercises you would need to do to help strengthen the knee joint itself, strengthen the tendons and ligaments in the joint. So that would be very valuable to you. And for everyone that buys my ebook at this point, they're getting a 1 month free in my virtual clinic. And that has those five components that I talk about in my free report: the water, the nutrition, the exercise, the stretching, and the breathing. I have tons of audio interviews and videos and things where I'm talking about and educating you on the different aspects of the water, the nutrition, the exercise, the stretching, and the breathing. And occasionally I have a catch-all section referred to as Anything Goes, that I have interviews with friends of mine who are different practitioners as well as doctors and physical therapists and things like that, that give some really great perspectives on looking at chronic knee pain and what you can do to begin helping yourself. So that is going to end the podcast for this week. Thank you so much for being here, and have a wonderful day.